This is Ansel Doing It podcast. We're two queer Latinx besties navigating academia and trying to stay sane in the process. Each week, we talk about identity, relationships, astrology, and mental health.
Join us as we figure out how to stay on top of our lives, our horoscopes, and our own self-work in these borderlands.
Hey, friend.
Hello there.
How's it going, bro?
Oh, God. It's year 5057 of quarantine. How are you doing?
Yeah, it feels like 2050-something, for sure. But I also don't know what day it is, you know, so it's like perspective.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Oh, God.
So for this episode, we're not having a deep conversation, although it will get deep because we're both here. But I mean, you know, it always does. Let's be real. But we
want. Oh, man.
So yeah. Let's check in, shall we?
We shall. Yeah, go ahead. You can go first.
Sure. Well, I have a paper cut that's been just killing me. So we'll start small and we'll get bigger, I promise. Although this paper cut feels big. But yeah, I've just been sort of... this week was really exhausting, tons of stuff going on, just meetings, lots of Zoom. We're in week 7 of the quarter, so students have things due, they're panicking. So I just hope people are okay. You know, I try my best. And honestly, that's been a lot of what's new for me, like just trying to manage students, trying to figure out what can we do from our end to make them feel supported. Sometimes I feel like what I'm doing is not enough. But we try. What else is going on? I think I told you this update, but you know, we talk, Jack and I talk a lot about planners and like schedules and shit like
that.
I was
just thinking about that. Yeah. Like, we should talk about that. How we're scheduling ourselves.
Read my mind. Yes. So me and my fucking Virgo rising and your Virgo sun, we love to bond over like things that structure our lives or that we delude ourselves into thinking are doing a difference. But I got the passion planner again. I feel like I used to have it and tried using it, like the physical passion planner. But I don't know about you. I was telling you this, like how I would put a lot of pressure to make it look pretty. And then I would, of course, like, because life is messy, fuck it up. Cause I use pen and you were like, I use pencil. And I don't know why I didn't think of that. Here I am, you know, reckless, just using pen on this show.
Fucking planners and perfectionists. It's like, does not go hand in hand.
It really is like, you know, disappointment waiting to happen. But I try. And I actually got, I was telling Jack, I got the digital. So Passion Planner released a digital version of it for the iPad. There's this app on the iPad called GoodNotes that is for note taking. And I guess like they made a planner optimized for that app. And I already had the app. So I was like, let me download it and see what this is about. It felt less commitment, you know, because it wasn't a physical thing I could fuck up. And there is an eraser on the iPad.
Yeah, that makes so, sense. I can relate. I can resonate with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I started using it, and not only is my handwriting neater on the iPad, but
well, yes.
Yeah, neater. Like it's really bad in person. So I've been using that, and it's actually really helped me. because I think the main thing I hear from people who use the passion planner, it is divided into like what, half hour increments or something. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty intense looking, but actually for me, since the days are blending into each other lately, it helps to know what time it is.
It helps. Without a passion planner, it does help to know what time it is.
Right, right. So I went from not knowing whether it was Tuesday to knowing exactly what I'm doing at like 11 a.m. on a Wednesday, and it grounded me really well. So that's been helpful. And I like to block out time for meals too, because I would forget to eat. So that's pretty much what I've been up to, filling out my passion planner. I also subscribed. Exciting. Yeah, like this is the most boring shit ever. The last thing I'll share. Actually, two more Virgo-like things. Did you know that Marie Kondo has a line with the Container Store?
Yes, I do. And I've been to the Container Store one time in my life, and I'm surprised I'm surprised. But I just told Anisha we have to plan a trip there. This very reason.
I've been twice since. And let me tell you, they're out of the things I want, but that's to be expected, because you know, these ringas on the west side really want joy. But I was looking at the collection, and it's a little expensive, I would say. I'm just getting inspiration. I don't think I'm buying anything really, but we'll see. So that was like a highlight for me, to like look at her stuff in the store. I've been really just thinking about getting rid of stuff around my house. So like just getting rid of stuff I don't use, stuff that doesn't really bring me joy. So going back to what our episode, January 2019, I think. Is that when we talked about this? So seeing her products in the store kind of jolted that memory. And also my partner and I watched these like things on Netflix that we both agree on, which are really random because we are so different. So like we never agree on what to watch except for really random shit. And we ended up watching The Minimalist, which is on Netflix. And it's about people who have a minimalist lifestyle. And while I never can see myself doing that fully, it kind of motivated me to get rid of stuff I don't think really adds anything to my life, you know? So that's kind of the kick I've been on. When I'm not putting stuff on my passion planner, I'm trying to get rid of everything I own that doesn't really serve me. I want to be one of those bitches that wears 3 shirts, 2 pants, you know? I want to keep it real simple. I'm not trying to own too many things, and for what, you know?
That's what I mean, especially when you're going to be in your house just for the foreseeable future. I mean,
who needs clothes? Yeah, it's super appealing now, yeah. But I mean, even if I wasn't, I don't think that I wore half of the shit I owned anyway before COVID, right?
So. Yeah. I've always been really good about getting rid of stuff. Some things I'll keep forever, but I think I'm always somebody who's like, okay, I gotta make space for new shit. Also because I'm always like, ooh, I want to buy new shit, so let me get rid of this old shit.
I don't know if that's good either, but it's, you know, it's a work in progress.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Was that the end of your exciting check-in?
You know, I think that is all of my organizational shit for this time. Yes. Go ahead, friend. What are you doing?
It's been quite a 2021 so far. But for me personally, we're in week 3 of the semester, so we're still kind of at the beginning, but really starting to get into like the real parts, right? Like we're moving from the intro now to like really the first things are being like, but we're starting to read the first books and things like that. And I mean, I'm teaching all asynchronous, and I'm teaching my women's studies class, and I'm teaching a queer of color critique class, and It's going. I'm feeling better this semester, as opposed to the last three semesters. right. I'm in my second year of being like a quote unquote real professor. And so I feel like I finally kind of and barely kind of starting to feel like I know what I'm doing, or like feeling like I'm finally adjusting. So that's been good, I think. And it's also hard, right? Because all of this has been, most of my time as a professor has been in a pandemic. And has been online. So it's been interesting. I've been at San Jose, quote unquote, San Jose State for like, this will be my fourth semester, but I've only been on the actual campus in my office in the classroom for one semester.
Wow.
Right. Before everything went to shit with the pandemic. But so I'm, just trying to survive every day, It's hard. This is a hard, I think, we were talking about earlier, like, what are we going to talk about today? And we're talking about how, like, we're all hitting like this wall and like this kind of collective sense of exhaustion with dealing with this pandemic, with like people are still getting COVID, people are still dying. There's, people in Texas have been without electricity for days. Like people have been dying there, even, not having, experiencing sub-zero temperatures. They're fucking Ted Cruz going to Cancun, escaping to Mexico, to find relief. And, I saw somebody be like, should Mexico be building a wall so that these people like him don't come through?
This has been a really interesting week because I didn't talk about this with you, but also Kendall Jenner came out with tequila this week. And I'm just like, are they?
What? I didn't see that. It's just been, Kanye and Kim broke up about time. We knew that was coming. That's that's not anything like really surprising, but
right, she's gonna
be like, so it's I'm today I spent most of my day in the office, tomorrow I'll spend most of my day on the couch, it's balance. Just like it's hard. Yeah. And that's that, in this moment right here specifically, like here where I'm geographically located, is like have electricity. I have, the weather's not, it's not bad. I'm in California, it's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
It's taking a toll, I'm feeling fine, but it's just taking a toll, right? Like again, just as I was mentioning to Angelica earlier, like this feeling of like cabin fever and like I'm just getting stir crazy. Like, I don't even know if we're gonna be able to. Like, am I gonna be able to socialize once I'm able to? Like with people. I need to be reintegrated into society.
Same. Same. I need a rehab for myself to go back. I think I said in the group chat, like, how am I going to un-awkward myself? It took me so long to not be awkward.
Yeah, and this is only adding to it. So, the other things for me is, like, what have I been doing? Similarly to Angelica, at the beginning of February, I didn't do this in January, but at the beginning of February, I went out and I got a planner. Usually, I get a passion planner. I've also used a panda planner. I really liked at that point in my life when I was using that. It was more about like feelings and like, what do you want to do today? Not like, what do you want to do? But more, it was the passion planner is very like time. Like it's about like time, like a scheduled, like scheduling your day on 30 minute increments. The panda planner has a section of the page layout for that, but that's not the main thing. It's more like, you know, what are the things you have to do today? Like, you can have a to-do list. You can write more like, what are your intentions for the day? It's more like when you're in your feels about, it's like, for me at that point, I struggled to use a timetable, right? Like to put things in like from 9 to 10, I'm going to do that. That used to give me anxiety, which is also why I use the pencil, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to just like erase it. Then I feel like most of last year, I was really struggling just with everything in life. And I didn't use a planner at all, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, I was just like resisting time altogether. And I finally was like, okay, bitch, you need to use an alarm clock. You need to have a schedule. And that's actually what Chani, on the Chani app, that's actually what she said. For me, that one of my main things that I'm focusing on these last few like weeks and maybe I think the last couple months has been like these little rituals, as she puts it, right? Like these little rituals of like nurturing and taking care of myself. That's kind of what my life has been kind of having me focus on, right? So like, that's, I think, beautiful. That's why I'm like, I'm super in rhythm, I guess, with that, because like, in February, I went out, I bought this, it's just a basic little planner from Target that like, yeah, I pulled in on Helica and I went to Target and I got some organizational things, because that's where Angelica goes for her desk organization. Organization, but
yeah,
I just got this little planner where it has like a monthly layout and then it has like a weekly layout, but it's just like, it doesn't have the timetable, right? It's
right.
More of just has like a to-do list, like a, you could write out what your to-do list is for every day.
So I
started using that, and that's actually been helpful. I've been keeping up with it, and I also use kanbanflow.com. I think it's .com. Let me check. And yeah, it's kanbanflow.com with the K, kanbanflow. And that's another kind of like organizational system, more like tracking. It allows you to track projects. And so I'm putting in like the larger projects I have, but then adding the subtasks to it. So I think for me, it sounds like I need more of more tracking my to-do lists in different places,
right?
As opposed to like, I think I do want to get to a place where I'm creating a timetable for me, but I think right now that can make me feel too rigid sometimes. So I'm just like, if I at least get these things done, then I'm good, right? And so, yeah, I think I've just been focusing on that, focusing on getting myself and my routine and creating structure, because it's really the only fucking thing I have control over right now.
Honestly.
Right? Like, especially with us being at home, I'm like, okay, now I can, how can I be a Virgo at Virgo and improve myself, right? How can I make myself better? And so, yeah, creating these rituals or these, like, you know, I'm still journaling every day. And so that's helpful, chanting every day. What's the other thing? Oh yeah, and the YNAB. I'm still doing You Need a Budget. So I've been doing really well on, like, actually I'm really surprised with myself. Like, I don't think you'd recognize me, Angelica. Like,
I think you've gone from YNAB to YHAB. You have a budget.
I have a budget. I will no longer go into a Foot Locker and buy two pairs of shoes without having planned for it.
Wow. Who are you?
It's wild. I used to like be proud of how much I would burn through my money. And yes. Now I'm like, wow, I'm so financially responsible. Like, I'm like saving, and like I have an emergency fund. I have like I'm paying down my debt. I have a plan to pay down my debt. Like, and that's I'm beautiful. Doing it aggressively, and I'm not buying, I'm only buying the things that I need. So right now in COVID, it's helpful too, because all I wear sweatpants and a t-shirt. So like, you know, and like my walking shoes. So it's nice that I don't have to commute, or, you know, that I don't have to, like, I'm just eating at home. Anisha and I still have, we started this with Bwinam. It was like a 34-day challenge of like not eating out and only buying what you need, like the essentials. And it's what, February 19th today. And we still haven't ordered anything out or ate out at all. It's like, who the fuck am I? We used to spend like hundreds of dollars on takeout a month, like without thinking about it. But anyway, so
wow, let's have a moment.
I'm adulting. I'm becoming mature and adulting.
Let's have a moment of silence for all the Jordans that will not be bought. Okay.
that's my boring life. You know,
I mean, at this point, who's having a fun life right now except for Ted Cruz, I guess, and Kendall. It's been, I think you pointed on something really important, which is like, we are, I think, a little bit obsessive with the stuff we can control. You know, right now there's not much of that to go around, so, you know, I think however people cope, right now, whatever you can do is fine. Like, our best is not our best right now. So I saw a therapist tell me that on TikTok, and she's right. You know, we're all doing whatever we can.
It's like, you know, and I think it's like, I think like there's these moments that I have of like, you know, because I being a Virgo, right, I am, and you can probably relate to this, but like, I am critical and judgmental, and a lot of the times it's very self-inflicted. And so there's times where I'm like, damn, why can't I get it together? Why can't I be better? Like, I'm wasting so much time, or like, you know, getting on myself about not being quote unquote perfect, or not being, it manifests more as like not being more productive, which one is like, my internalized capitalism that is bullshit. And then, And it's like, I have to take a step back, especially now, right? Mm-hmm. And not just now, not just because of COVID, right? But I think like one thing that COVID is helping me realize is that, or this pandemic, is that like, rest is important and essential, and like slowing down is important and essential. And I think a lot of people are probably getting that message from the last year. But I think that like, I have to take a step back sometimes when I'm being critical of myself in that way. And then I'm like, we're in a fucking pandemic. Like, things are not normal. They still aren't normal, even though we've come to some kind of normalcy, or like, of being at home. And part of me is like, I don't know how I'm ever going to go back to work, or, you know, have to commute again. But like, things are not normal. Things aren't normal. Things are not, like, it's okay if you're still not okay.
Yeah.
Or if you're not super productive, or you don't feel motivated, or you don't feel like inspired, like, you know,
Yes, there's so much of this that I think resonates with me, just because of like, yes, I always feel that way. I also have a problem with authority, as me and Anisha share this part of our chart, where we don't like people telling us what to do or how to do it. And I love that about me in times like these, because my initial response to people saying, I've adapted to working from home, here are 5 strategies of how you can make working from home work for you, or whatever. And my reaction to that is like, okay, bitch. Like, if you say so.
Like, I see how you're choosing to cope.
Right, exactly. And I made, this is going to be funny. I made a TikTok video recently, And I don't know if you probably have no idea that there's like this hashtag movement going on TikTok around artists. It's called the 10K artist. So one person had this idea that like, basically on TikTok, when you reach 10,000 followers, you get access to the creator fund, which means you can monetize off your videos and engagement. So you make money. Mm. I mean, we're not talking about lots of money, probably just cents, but it's, you know, something.
Yeah, but in a cruise, right?
The more absolutely. Exactly. So then this person was like, hey, if we follow each other as artists, we just need 10,000 other artists to follow each other. If we all follow each other, it's going to be easy to do this, right? So people started jumping on the wagon. It became really big and I kind of joined in as well. And lots of like followers have come through that are also artists. It's been great. But at the same time, now that my feed is full of artists, there's been like interesting things happening. That's all I'm going to say. So some people are showing off like their process and painting a lot, going live for hours, like drawing. And other people are showing like other types of things. And so I made a video and I was like, I keep seeing there's always like this voiceover person that's like, artists, show me your sketch. Show me this. Show me your sketchbook. Show me what you're working on. Show me the last piece you finished. And I'm over here like, ma'am, I have a full-time job. I'll show you something on the weekend. How about that? Like, I wasn't trying to be rude. I was just trying to say, like, let's not create unrealistic expectations for each other right now, especially. And so many people reacted, friend. Like, hundreds of people commented saying, I have a full-time job too, or like, I feel really unmotivated right now. Or I feel intimidated by my feed now because people are expecting me to like be drawing when I don't even want to get out of bed, you know?
Right.
So that's happening in my life and I have to speak on it because I think that what we see online is never true. You know, I'm glad some people are finding art to be a great way to cope and to stay productive that way. But some of us are kind of not able to do that. And I think that also deserves to be said, you know, that not all of us are making masterpieces right now or redecorating our homes or I forgot
what. I think we're done with that. I told you.
Yeah, we're done.
We're done with that. We were making not we as in I, because I never did this.
Sourdough?
Right, but all of you bitches made sourdough bread last year. All of you. You wanted to do it your whole life and you finally had time to do it. You were making pasta from scratch. You were fucking remodeling your whole house. That was me. That was me.
Yeah,
that was me. Remodeling your whole house, remodeling your cabinet, not remodeling cabinetry, but like, what was I, like reorganizing everything in my cabinets, right? Like, like you went through all these phases of like decluttering and cleaning and all the things you can do. And now I'm tapped the fuck out. Like I cooked every meal I wanted to cook. I've cooked all the things that like are time conducive that I wouldn't do during like regular work schedule, right? Yeah, I don't have anything more to give. Let me go outside.
Let me go.
But also don't let me go outside, because here's the other things, kind of talking back to work, about work, like these administrators really think that I'm gonna go back to work in August. Like they really think that I'm gonna go back and start teaching in a class when everybody has germs.
What?
Yes. And so I don't know if they're really, I mean, right now that's the plan, supposedly, to go back to like in-person teaching. I requested online. I don't know if I'm going to be forced. I can't be forced to do shit, I don't think, in this circumstance, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really know. Yeah. And it's like, look, yes, I'm tired and I'm exhausted and like, I really love working from home and I also hate it, right? Like at this point, because it's forced, right? Nobody asked me to, if I want, this is what I wanted for my life.
Right.
I have problems with authority. But you know, all that being said, it's like, I also am not trying to go back to work under the circumstances where it's not safe, right? Exactly. And not just for me, because sure, I'll access the vaccine, but I don't know about other folks, if they'll have access to that, let alone if they'll be able to take it, or if they want to take it, or whatever, right? Like,
that's real.
So it's like we're between a rock and a hard place, because this shit is still not solved, right? Even the vaccine, you can still spread it. You know, get your vaccine if you can. I'm getting mine soon.
Yeah, shout out to all the señoras that are getting it right now.
Yeah, I'm actually getting mine on Saturday. I forgot to tell you, because now, at least in Alameda County, because of this move of wanting to open up schools, you know, now educators are allowed to get the vaccine as of like this week, I think. Wow. And in different counties, it's happening like towards the end of this month, and like, so
exciting.
It's like exciting, but it's also like, I know, exciting for me and like this sense of relief, but also like, but there's not, like, they're not letting people who actually need to get it, like houseless people, or like, you know, people who have underlying illness,
pre-existing or conditions.
Yeah. And so it's like bittersweet, right? Because I'm glad that I'm getting it, and I am gonna go get it, right? Because if I don't get it, then that I, like, I heard the other day that there was like 4,000 people who didn't show up to their appointment, so then they have to toss out the vaccine, right? Because it expires. So yeah, so it's like, if you make a fucking appointment, take that shit, because that way, one, you get it, and then other people, opens a space so more people can go get it, right? Because it's not like, because you don't get it, then somebody else can use it. No, it's like, it's a fucking waste.
Wow.
And then the county isn't able to get that same amount because of the numbers that are being recorded, right?
Dang, I didn't know that at all. That's intense. Well, I'm glad you're getting it. And I don't think I'm getting it for a while, and I'm fine with that. You know, I'm not going outside anyway, but and they can't make me. I think over here too, like at UCLA, at least it's very much up in the air. There's, you know, like most universities right now, or so far, they've identified priority groups already, and like have told us like, this is who's getting it. Like, all our medical staff has gotten it. Now we're moving on to like 65 and older. And I think I'm like the second to last group or something. So I know I'm not going to get it. I might graduate before I get it. That's my new joke right now, that like, I'll get my diploma.
You probably will.
Yeah. Like, I'll get my diploma before I get my vaccine, but that's fine. And I think that like, just hearing you talk about this, like how many teachers right now, like in Chicago, I know there was a big deal about this too, like schools rushing to get children in classrooms without it truly being safe for them. So my heart goes out to people there, people in Texas right now. I mean, I can only imagine like how folks are suffering, and it's a shit show across the country. And then the tequila thing on top of it, like my mom and I had a huge conversation about Kendall Jenner's tequila. Do you want me to tell you about it?
Yeah.
So it's very short. She decided to, no, it is, because it's, you know, cultural appropriation, right? Classic thing that family does. I'm sad for Kim right now, I guess, because, you know, divorce is hard. I'm a child of divorce, but so I have sympathy for that. But she has like 40 children to like figure out.
How many kids do they have?
Five?
Three?
No, tiene más, five or six.
We can look it up later.
It's a bunch. Let's just say a bunch.
Brady Bunch.
Yeah. So Kendall Jenner, who's the youngest, right? Or one of the youngest sisters, decided to come up with her own brand of tequila. And she basically named it, 818, which is like the Valley area code. let's just put a pin on that for now. So what it means is that when these celebrities come up with their own tequila lines, they just pay companies in Mexico to do all the labor and stamp, basically put their tequila in their bottle. So they pay for these companies to basically put their tequila in the bottle and put the label on it, right? And there's multiple offenses here. Like, she not only said, you know, I felt like doing this, but also she was seen in a video drinking it with ice cubes on it. And on top of that, like the 818, right, which is like the working class part of the Valley. And I know she's from the Valley, but not that part. So the 818 being the brand name just really offended folks on another level. And my mom and I had a big conversation because we're from Jalisco, and tequila, right. Jalisco is like a couple hours from where I was born. And if you're from Jalisco, tequila is a lifestyle. Like, it really is.
Yeah.
People have like their favorite brands, and they treat them like their Harry Potter houses. Like, it's a loyalty thing, you know, it's like very serious. When you go to my parents' house, you've been there, like, you're made to drink a shot almost immediately. Like, you almost don't have a choice. So my mom was just saying, you know, that this isn't new, that, you know, Steve Seagal has a tequila and George Clooney.
Clooney has one too, no?
Right. So those are also bad. I also want to say that. But I think my mom was just saying, you know, people who know. If you know, you know. Like, you don't drink that shit if you know. And there's Mexican-made brands you can support. There's Don Julio, there's Cazadores, all kinds of different better tequila brands that are made by actual Mexicans. From Jalisco. And yeah, that was pretty much all we talked about. Like, that's been like the group chat in my family anyway. But you know, we're a little bit of a tequila nerd family, right? I'm sure most
families. Sure, I mean, you're from there. Yeah.
And we've been there. Makes sense. Yeah. We've been to the factory.
Yeah, I've also been there too. And I used to be big on tequila, then I drank too much of it, but
yeah, it's not a friend either.
No,
not anymore.
I'm like, yeah, to use a friend I used to know. I call it tequila. So,
oh my god, it really is. Yeah, I don't recommend it to my biggest enemies.
Yeah, but I'm not a big drinker anymore. I think. I've also never liked mezcal, but I know that's kind of a big drink. Like, if you like tequila, you also usually like mezcal.
Yeah, they taste very different from each other, actually. But yeah, mezcal is a big point of pride for people from Oaxaca, right?
They all smell like rubbing alcohol to me, so.
I like pulque. When I was in Mexico City, that was my
that's good.
Pulque was flavored. It was good. It got you drunk. You know, it was great. I like pulque a lot. Even though the texture was a little bit hard to get used to, I prefer that sometimes because tequila can be very unforgiving. So, but yeah, okay. I think, you know.
Well, that's unfortunate that Kendall, you know, did some basic bitch shit, but what else can you expect?
She's bored in quarantine. We can tell.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, damn. Yeah. And then, what else? The Ted Cruz thing was cracking me up because he blamed it on his daughters. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that part.
He said he went because his daughters wanted a family trip and he obliged as a good dad does. And he said they wanted to go. So that's why he went. And I'm over here like, if I was your daughter, wow. What the hell, dude?
Patriarchy.
I'm just like, this man is so slimy.
He can't even take responsibility for his actions and then blames it on didn't he blame it on the Green New Deal or whatever?
They all did. And then he left his dog at home in the cold without power. And his dog's name is Snowflake.
Oh my God.
So he left Snowflake all alone.
I feel like that man is not okay.
I really think he's the Zodiac Killer. Allegedly, I know, but, you know. he's something. I don't know what's up with this guy. Like,
he made a deal with the devil because he's on some other shit.
I don't know, because if he made a deal with the devil, he needs his money back, because that beard is not doing anything for him. So I just want to know who he made a deal with.
I don't know, but
yeah,
I hope people wake up in Texas and see what the fuck. Like, y'all got to turn blue, because I mean, not that like they gonna save you or anything, but you know.
I think voting is the last thing folks in Texas are thinking about right now. And it's also one of the states with the biggest voter suppression. So I do want to say, like, I understand it's difficult, but at the same time, it's almost like, you know, if the government's supposed to support you in times of crisis and they're not, then why do we need it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the reality right there. Like, let's fuck some shit up.
Yeah, so I think we need to build systems that support us. And like, every time shit goes down, who saves folks? Actually, mutual aid,
community support. Exactly.
That's who I've been sharing, because I know those people get shit done, you know, like these communities.
Yeah.
That's who's
getting it's water. Not people with positions and power. I'll tell you that.
Nope. So, you know, my heart goes out to Texas.
That damn thing.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's really just heartbreaking to see people in Texas right now with the cold, and also in the Midwest, right? Parts of the Midwest and the South are going through snow right now. So, you know, I know that you all don't like to hear from Californians, but we do hope you're okay and we care.
We send you love and warmth.
Yeah. Well, I get cold after below 55, so I don't know how much that means for me, but I really, really hope folks are okay. I truly do. Joking aside.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah.
Nunca te he visto ni mal vestido ni sin maquillaje guapo.
Es por no faltarle respeto al público.
Es la
mamá. El público quiere Walter mono, bonito y por lo menos con su ropita bien bonito. Cuando van a los sitios, dicen, ¿cómo vendrá? Pues dicen, vendrá con una capa o con algo.
Claro.
Porque toda esa magia, esa magia nace de...
Is it time?
For
the Walter Mercado Corner.
So since today is kind of a low energy chill day, I actually think we haven't done this in a while, but we could just riff off, you know, I really want to know, especially since you have a sibling of the sign, it's Pisces season. We've entered into Pisces territory. We just came out of Aquarius season, which was amazing and also earth shaking. Kind of a lot. And so I kind of wanted to talk about Pisces. Do we know anyone in our life who's a Pisces? Have they impacted us? And what do we like about the sign or those placements, right? Because they can be sun, moon, rising, anything. So do you want to go first, friend?
Pisces are... I mean, I get along well with Pisces.
Your opposite sign?
Not as like partner, but as like a friend, right? Like, I'm really, really close with my brother Martin, who's a Pisces. His birthday is March 9th. One of my best friends, longest time best friends from high school, Patricia, is also a Pisces on St. Patrick's Day. So like, and then I mean, I know there's other Pisces in my life, but those, I guess, as of right now, are like the main ones that I come to mind that I've had these like really strong emotional connection with. I guess that's where I connect with Pisces, is like I'm able to really be my full self emotionally with them, and like I'm able to have an emotional relationship even like with my brother, right? Like yeah, like we can really go deep. It's not just like about, oh, how are you or what's going on this week, but like I can actually, like, I guess the level of intimacy, I guess, in that way, in a non-romantic way, but in a like a deep bond kind of way, is at least what I've shared with Pisces before. I don't know. I'm still confused by them because I don't really know what makes Pisces Pisces. And I say this to you every time, but I still feel like because you know, okay, because like you know what a Virgo's like, you know what a Cancer's like, you know what a Scorpio is like. Right. Mm-hmm. But Pisces is still a kind of a mystery to me. Right. But I would say it's like I think you've said it's kind of a little bit of every sign, but
yeah.
Also like, it's like the Aquarius water sign. Mm-hmm. So like,
yeah. That's accurate.
So I see that in my brother, at least, like very spacey, very like, yes. Kind of like has that, I think Pisces may, and I don't know, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm also maybe just tying this to my brother, but like having this kind of like airy side to them, but also deeply emotional.
Yeah, so they're very connected to, they're untethered. I think that's a good way to put it. They are the opposite of the earth. So like they're opposites Virgo. So that makes sense because Virgo is so grounded and so it's steeped in the material reality of the world, right? Like Virgo is all about what's real, what can I control, systems, schedules, right? Rituals, concrete results. And Pisces is about dreams and it's ruled by Neptune, which is the planet of illusion. And it rules like psychedelic drugs, right? It also rules like, you know, besides LSD, it rules like dreams and this like almost endless emotional depth and pool. So Pisces people are often trying to medicate in order to not feel everything, right? So they're so sensitive that they tend to, you know, have addictive personalities, right? And I think that's where opposite signs are actually very similar in some ways. Right.
I have those issues too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So like Cancers and Capricorns tend to be very managerial. You know, we both like to, you know, be in control of shit and run shit. I think that Pisces and Virgo have that duality of like, they both want to control because so much feels out of control. So Pisces is very, you know, the stereotype of Pisces, honestly, like just like Virgos have that like control freak stereotype. I would say Pisces stereotypes are like they're a little bit crybaby, sensitive babies. Like they definitely are spacey, stuff like that. You know, Bubbles from the Powerpuff Girls is the perfect Pisces.
Sebastian from Café con Chisme is a Pisces too.
Yeah. And I love Seb. And I think that like, well, I get along with water signs, but I do want to say like people are also afraid of water signs because they tend to, you know, nobody likes to cry. Nobody likes to have emotional death unless you're a water sign. You probably enjoy crying a lot.
It's just people being judgmental because they're so afraid of their own feelings. I get it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think Pisces, people project a lot of shit onto Pisces. That's all I'm going to say. Like, unfortunately, people are not ready to meet themselves. And so they project a lot of that insecurity onto water, especially Pisces, because they are the softest of the three, you know. They're easy targets, I would say, for that, right? Like,
isn't Walter a Pisces?
Yeah, of course. Little Pisces baby. Walter Mercado was a Pisces, our patron saint of the Walter Mercado corner.
Mm-hmm.
So another stereotype, and I think that's something that I was going to comment on, is like, Pisces tend to, you know, fall deeply in love and sometimes they don't see reality quite that well. That's how they're the opposite of Virgo, right? Because Virgo is very realistic. But Pisces can get really lost in the fantasy of someone or the ideal, and they do tend
to. The potential.
Absolutely. And the pedestal is there. So they tend to put people on it, right? Unfortunately. And I think that, you know, that's kind of the childlike wonder that they have. I particularly enjoy that because I don't have much of my childlike wonder anymore. And I think Pisces placements remind me that, like, it's okay to be childlike, you know, or like that's really precious. And I think a lot of us lose that in the process of growing up, you know. But Pisces always make me feel really just like curious and happy and kind of like, oh, like, let's giggle about this. Why not? You know, it's kind of like that light energy. I don't know. I don't know many in my life either, actually, besides Sev. And my younger sister's a Pisces moon. And it makes so much sense because she's always been into like very, she's into tarot. She read my tarot cards yesterday. She's very into crystals and interpreting her dreams and just like, yeah, always curious and intellectually like looking for that spiritual stuff. Whereas I've always been like, no, like I have this practice. I like the regimentedness of it. I'm going to do that. Like, I'm not curious about other stuff. But yeah, I dated a Pisces once too for years. And I think what I appreciated about that person is that they always had plans for creative stuff. They were very creative. They're the artist sign. So the musician sign, a lot of artists and creatives have Pisces placements in their chart. It's a very artistic, creative placement to have a Pisces
sign. The sign of the poet.
Yes, absolutely. Is what
Yugati told me, because that's what I have. She said, Yugati Gabriel, who's an astrologer, she said that I have Pisces and something. I have to look at my notes. But she's like, that's the sign of the poet. And that's why I know you're meant to be a writer.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, that's totally Pisces energy. You know, and I appreciate it, right? Like, and I also understand that it's not for everybody. So yeah, I would say fire signs probably don't like Pisces very much, but Pisces is like one of those signs that gets along with air signs more. So because they're intellectually curious, you know, they can hang with like an intellectual air sign. They're just seeking for the wrong reasons, right? So like Gemini just wants to accumulate knowledge. Aquarius just wants to be the smartest person in the room. And Pisces wants to just learn for learning sake. Oh. Yeah. Libra just wants to be liked. So yeah, Libra also likes to argue, right? So Libra wants ammunition, which is why they learn. But yeah, I think that Pisces is like almost forgotten sometimes. I don't know if you feel that way, but I feel like people kind of forget Pisces sometimes. You know, as a Cancer, I feel protective of them. I want to say that, like, whenever I meet a Pisces, I feel like I want to protect them from other people. I get that kind of Cancer mother, like, instinct for sure. It's like, let me protect this fish because they don't have anything to defend themselves with.
Yeah, they got fins. They don't have like little, they don't have like the pinchers.
They're soft.
Like,
they're
the
soft.
Or the scorpion. Yeah.
Exactly. That's a great observation. Yeah. Scorpios and Cancers have protective elements to them, right? They're soft too, but they can defend themselves. And I feel like Pisces is so soft.
They got some shell and Pisces ain't got shit.
No, just their fins and water. Yeah.
Just their meat is exposed.
When you say it like that, I don't know.
Well, that's all for us today.
Yeah. We hope you enjoyed this just like shooting the shit episode. We really just wanted to catch up and we hope you're doing well and stay warm.
Stay warm, stay dry. Wash your hands.
Yes, wear a mask. Bye, everybody.
Bye.